This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Lay your head down on my shoulder, don't hold it in your hands. Tell me all your troubles and I'll try to understand. I know your heart's still tender and I know that it still hurts. But things can only get better when it seems they can't get any worse. Hold on to me, I won't let you go. You'll be okay, so hold on.
Hello and welcome to the Fighting Stigma Show here on Free FM 89.0, Tuia Ngā Reo o Te Hapori, and also on Raglan Community Radio, Arrow FM, Otago Access Radio and Radio Kidnappers. I'm your host Vanessa and I'm really happy to be here today. And it's no matter what the weather is doing wherever you are, I hope you're having a good time. I hope the week is treating you well. I hope life is kind of doing all right. In today's show of Fighting Stigma, I want to have a chat about internalized stigma or self-stigma. It doesn't matter what you call it. It's just that idea of like where we have taken on as people that experience stigma out in the world, whether from other people, from society in general, from the media, that we take on some of that and it's become internalized and we have that belief about ourselves. And so I just want to have a chat about that because it's one of those things that I think quite often doesn't get talked about out loud. And so depending where you're at in your recovery journey, you may not have come across the idea before. And I personally have found it is one of the most healing things to be aware of because it made the biggest difference for me to grow into my self-acceptance, my self-compassion, and just sort of going, hey, those internal dialogue, that internal monologue, those like internal thoughts that I have that are quite nasty sometimes, quite often a lot of those are coming from self-stigma or internalized stigma and kind of going, hey, actually, do I actually believe that? Do I believe that's true? Would I say that about someone else in the similar circumstances to myself? And it makes quite a difference. It's made quite a difference. So I want to have a chat about that. But before I get into all that juiciness, I want a quick word about our sponsor, Progress to Health. Progress to Health believes in creating communities without barriers. And to achieve that, we tailor supports to adults experiencing mental health and or disabilities based on their goals to encourage recovery, independence and community involvement. Progress to Health has teams that provide peer support, recovery education, workshops, employment preparation and support, including navigation with other services. Service users are allocated a community support facilitator on referral depending on their goals to mental recovery and achievement. We have offices in Hamilton, Tokoroa and New Plymouth. So if that sounds like something you or someone you know might be interested in and you are in the Waikato DHB region, Taranaki or Taupō, then have a listen to this ad I'm about to play for Progress to Health and get in touch with us.
At Progress to Health, we provide a range of support for those who have experienced mental illness. People who have dealt with mental illness and associated disabilities are supported holistically to maximise their potential. We want to empower your journey to recovery. Check out our website, www.progresstohealth.org.nz, or call us free on 0800 77 57 57.
Now, don't stress if you missed any of those contact details for Progress to Health and you're thinking, hey, that'd be something that'd be really helpful for myself or for someone else you care about. I do play that ad at the end of the show. So stick around, have a listen to our episode today, grab a pen and paper, and at the end of the show, jot down all those details for Progress to Health and reach out. So as I said, I want to have a chat today about internalized stigma or self-stigma. So one of the big things about it is that so often we hear, like, and it depends. I'm going to be talking about from a point of view of someone with a mental health condition and also a neurodivergency. It can be people experience stigma in multiple different ways for multiple different reasons. And so it could be when I'm talking about stuff, you're like, hey, I haven't really noticed it around my mental health, but I definitely have that around my sexuality or my gender or like my marital status or my age or how I like to dress, like, you know, whatever it is. Like, it might be whatever's going on. I personally found it's just made such a difference recognizing the thought patterns, if that makes sense. I feel like that's an okay way of describing it. Because for me, I could recognize external stigma. I could recognize if someone was discriminating against myself or someone else. Like, I could recognize, hey, they're being really nasty. They're putting down, they have like this belief that people with, say, mental health issues are violent and dangerous, or they're just lazy. And I mean, as someone who's experienced mental health concerns for a large portion of my life, I know that there's so many times that we hear things from people, you're just like, wow, that's not a nice way of saying that. That's a really, excuse my language, but a really shitty belief. And it's not very nice that you said that to someone. And especially, like, sometimes it seems to be phrased as a way of saying, hey, I'm just trying to help you. Like, if you just realized this, like, your life would be better. And it's like, that is not helpful. And so I could recognize that, but I didn't. It took a really long time and quite a bit of work for me to recognize that when I was having reasonably nasty thoughts, or I was putting myself down, or I was blaming myself, or I was comparing and contrasting myself to other people, or what I thought was happening for other people, or how other people were managing, it was internalized stigma. Like, I was taking on the stigma that I was experiencing out in the world and taking it on and saying, hey, yeah, that's how it is, and I should be doing better, right? So if you haven't come across the term stigma or discrimination in a way that's like kind of gives you that nitty-gritty about what it is, my easy way of describing stigma and discrimination is stigma is the internal. It's the thought, the belief, the opinion, the attitude that someone has or that society has. So it can be either a single person having it against or having that belief or thought or opinion about a single person or a group of people, or even a society as such. And it is that there's something wrong, there's something to be ashamed of, that there is something inherently not good about that person or that group of people. And so stigma comes from stigmata, which is like the mark of shame. And it's like that whole thing of that. So it's the internal stuff, it's the thoughts, whereas discrimination is the action that comes from that. And so what happens is that if someone has this thought or this belief that another group is less than them, that there's something wrong with them, that there's something to be ashamed of, that what happens is that thought, that belief, that then creates, so they have this belief, right? And then that from that becomes a prejudice. So it's like, well, actually, you shouldn't rent your houses out to people with mental health concerns, because actually they don't pay their bills and they make a lot of mess. Or you might have a prejudice, like, it's that comes in, like, you know, it's fear or anger. It's like it's the emotional response, right? And then the discrimination that comes from that is the action. So it might be you don't rent your house out. So there's the thought, then there's the emotion, and then there's the action, right? And so stigma is the internal stuff, and discrimination is the external stuff. It's the things that people see. So it's whether it's an action or it's the thing someone says. And so when people are talking about internalized stigma, quite often it feels a bit weird, because kind of it hits different, because it's their internal thoughts, right? It's their internal thinking. And sometimes we're not even aware that it's thinking. It just, like, it feels like the truth because it's inside us, right? Like, it's actually just, it's how our thoughts present themselves. So it's like, well, that it must be true because that's what I'm thinking. And I kind of come back to a saying that took off, I don't know how many years ago now, depression lies. So that's depression lies, as in lies to you, tells you fibs, tells you untruths. And it's not just depression. I think it's all mental health concerns, because I personally think that one of the big things that happens is that when we have a mental health condition and something like in our our thoughts or our emotions or how we process things doesn't work the way we want it to, it inherently has us feeling like there's something wrong, right? Because it feels like there's something wrong. Like it's not doing what we want it to do. Life isn't the way we want it to go. There's some huge challenges. And so when we kind of start noticing that, hey, how I'm presenting myself or how I'm talking about myself is really negative, and someone points out, hey, have you realized that actually that if you think about it, this is, you know, you're actually stigmatizing yourself. You're discriminating against yourself. Like this is self-stigma. This is internalized stigma. You're feeling like, and you're saying to yourself that you should just get up and go do, and everyone else does it better than you. And when you start talking about it, you're saying that you're stupid and wrong and lazy, and that you have to be really careful not to talk too loud because people might think you're violent. Like that is all stuff that comes from stigma. Like that is all stigma, right? And so until you start recognizing that, it's almost impossible to notice it, I reckon. And it's one of those things that once you start noticing it, it is a little bit easier to kind of shut up that internal voice that's really mean. I've said many times over the years talking on Fighting Stigma about so often we talk to ourselves so much worse than we would ever talk to someone else out in the world. And how we treat ourselves, how we judge ourselves, the standards we set for ourselves are not the same as what we would do for someone we love and care for. And one of the biggest things I think we can do is start having some self-compassion and recognizing, hey, this is me being really nasty to myself. Does this thought or this what I'm saying to myself come from a prejudice? Does it come from, like, you know, some belief that actually if you have a mental health concern, it's just a character weakness and you should just pick yourself up by your bootstraps and go, actually, just get on with it. If you stop being lazy, stop being weak. And if we start doing, if we recognize that, it can make the biggest difference, because then we can shut up that internal voice somewhat. Like I always talk about it as a volume dial. It's like I don't have a way of making that voice just disappear completely. I can't shut it up, if that makes sense. But I can turn it down so it's not at the forefront and it's not, like, you know, making life really hard to, like, be okay. And when we actually start doing that, it's like anything. The more times you do it, the easier it is. And the more times you do it and you kind of start, you get to the point where you're like, hey, I'm really noticing this is making a little bit of a difference. It's like, it's not going to make everything perfect straight away. We're just looking for an improvement. And it, no matter how small, anything is good. And then once you start doing that, it's like any success, right? As soon as you've had something that you succeeded at, and then you're going to automatically start feeling like, you know, your self-esteem's going to go up because you're like, hey, I did that. I managed that. That was really good. I felt that. I feel like I'm a good person. I'm worthy of whatever went really well. And then it increases your self-confidence, which automatically increases how much effort, or if you're even willing to try and do something again, right? Like whether it's the same thing that you've already succeeded at and you're just doing another action of that, or it's something completely different. So you have success, moves to self-esteem, moves to self-confidence, which generally leads to more success. And it just kind of, it's a nice spiral upwards. And so if you can start kind of just recognizing your thought patterns, your beliefs, like how you judge yourself, what are the sayings you have in your head? Because, oh, we all have it. So some people don't have an internal dialogue as such. They're more pictures. And some people don't have pictures. And some people, like, it's a bit different as well. So this is all a thing that's starting to be spoken about more in society. So there's lots of different ways of everyone recognizing that there's not one way that we think, right? And so if you're someone like me that you kind of have a running dialogue in your head, and I always talk about it as being I have 15 tabs open in my brain at any one time and I can never find the one that's playing music. And sometimes it's Crazy Frog, which is driving me crazy. And so, like, I quite often have like 15 different tangents I want to go off in. And that sometimes what it is actually I've just got like the inner critic and judgment part of me is just being really loud. So it's the self-stigma is being really loud. And so I kind of having to manage that, like recognizing that it's just a part of how my thinking goes, and it's just because I am a product of my society. I'm a product of my age. I'm 50. I'm turning 51 this year. And it's that whole thing of when I was growing up, because I was born in 75, when I grew up, there was lots of conversation around mental health, and like the media, especially in the news, was all about if you're around someone with mental health, they're dangerous, they're weak-willed, they're lazy, they're not good people, you shouldn't be around them. If you have a mental health concern and you need medication, your life's pretty much over. You're going to make everyone around you miserable. Like, so I took a lot of that on, right? And then there was the whole thing when I was growing up that the mental health institutes were closed. And what that created was like a whole range of communities that ended up having people with mental health concerns. Some of them had been institutionalized for decades, and they were now going out into the community, into a community that wasn't prepared, and that people who weren't prepared for the change in circumstances. For a lot of them, it was really, really good, or it was the start of like really good because they weren't stuck in an institute. But also, like the kind of support changed dramatically really quickly. And so there was constant conversations around mental health when I was growing up. So either it wasn't spoken about because it was hush-hush and it was something to be ashamed of and like disregarded and talked down about, or if it was talked about, it was always talked about in a very derogatory manner. So when I became really unwell mental health-wise and I received my first diagnosis of bipolar and anxiety, it was both the best day and the worst day of my life. The best day, because now I knew, it's like I knew what was going on. There was an actual thing, and there's now some stuff we can do to help with that. And there's, I know what to say, what's happening, so I can find some people who've been through similar things so I can get some ideas. And worst day, because my internal stigma that I had about having a mental health concern was so big, I was like, my life is over. I'm never going to have a full-time job. I'm never going to get married. I'm never having kids. I'm never going to own a house. I'm not, like, there's no point. Like, what am I going to do? I might as well go live in a shack. Like, there's no worth to me, is how I felt for about the first year. And then, like, learning about internalized stigma, learning about our thought patterns and how we talk to ourselves, and the super, super importance of, even if things are really, really crud right now and they're really not going well, actually just saying, hey, I haven't managed that yet, or that didn't go the way I wanted to, and so I'm going to try again, or I'm going to do it in a different way, or I'm now aware, like, you know, good catch, good learning. I've worked that out. I now know I want to do it differently. And it's like, for me, one of the big things that happened is I started, once I really recognized those internal thoughts I had, that internalized stigma, when it was going through my head, and it was so nasty and so judgmental and so critical and just made me feel miserable, because it was just like, you know, I internally believed it, right? Like, it just seemed like the truth. It seemed like, because the society I was growing up in was very similar. I was hearing the same things inside, right, and as outside. And what I ended up doing is someone had, like one of a counsellor I had at one point asked me, how would I describe that internal critic and internal judger? Like, what does it sound like? And so I could just say a whole bunch of words. And then randomly, for some reason, I had this picture pop into my head of the Muppets. And I don't know if you've ever watched the Muppets, but if you have, you'll know that there's the stage with all the Muppets, they come on and do a show, and up in the stands there's like a balcony seat that has two elderly gentlemen Muppets, Statler and Waldorf, and they are very critical of the Muppet show, and they always start with saying, one of them says something quite good, it's like, oh, that was a really good show, Fozzie Bear did a good job, and the other one's like, oh, I don't know, Fozzie Bear wasn't that great, he tells better jokes sometimes, and like the other one's like, so they just bounce off each other until they're just saying horrible, judgmental, critical things about the show, and it's like, the worst show ever, and they should burn the place down, like, they're just really nasty, right? And I just went, oh, my, the inner critic and judger that I'm hearing in my head, like, that generally, you know, 99% of the time come from internalized stigma. I just started calling Statler and Waldorf, because I tell you what, it was a lot easier to kind of separate myself from those thoughts, feelings, emotions, prejudice, the attitude about that, you know, I should just be able to get on with it. I'm just weak-willed. I'm lazy. And once I moved on, I could separate that. I could move on from it because I could separate it. Like picturing those internal thoughts as coming from Statler and Waldorf, like, you know, having grown up with the Muppets and like that was my constant kind of TV show, especially at the weekends, right? It's that whole thing of, I think it was a Saturday morning cartoon actually, the Muppets. Well, it's not really a cartoon, but you know. And it was, that was the thing. I could separate it out from myself because I could picture that actually that is literally quite often what stigmatizing statements sound like from people. And I realized that I was doing it to myself in my head. And so that worked for me. Everyone will have a different way of challenging and combating and kind of just becoming aware of their internal stigma. And it could be like taking note of some statements you make to yourself, some judgments you make. Are there comparisons or standards you're trying to reach or you expect yourself to reach? And if you don't reach them, you're nasty to yourself. What are the things that go on in your head? And so once we kind of start picturing that, that's when we can start moving on, right? And for everyone, it's different for like how they address it. So for me, obviously, picturing Statler and Waldorf, that made a huge difference. And then I could just start working on being compassionate to myself, being gentle with myself and going, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to get it right every single time. I don't have to know how to do it right now. And I'm not dangerous. I'm not crazy. I'm not stupid. I'm not weak. I'm not lazy. I am looking after my mental health. I am doing everything I can to stay on the planet. And so I just learned some phrases that really helped me. But sometimes it's really hard to come up with those phrases. Sometimes it's just like, hey, Vanessa, I hear you, but actually kind of like, it's not even self-stigma right now. It's just like my mental health is really tanked and it's not good. And like, I don't even know where to start with anything. And we need to reach out. We need to talk to someone. And it's kind of a bit hard to know where to talk to someone, get hold of someone to talk to. Sometimes we have really close friends and family that are available, but maybe it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Maybe your support person has moved away. Depending on what's going on, sometimes we need to have someone else that we can reach out to. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play a series of support lines. So if you ever find yourself in that situation and you need to talk to someone and you're not sure who to reach out to, this will give you a really great list. So grab a pen and paper and write these down. I'm going to give you the name, when they're available, like obviously the contact number, when they're available and what topics or what support they can give. Because some of them aren't actually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So just take note of that. So grab a pen and paper and write these down. So if you ever need them, you've got them. So the first support line that I want to give you is 1737. Now, that's pretty much what it's called. So Need to Talk 1737. It's a free call or text service and it's available 24/7. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you'll get to talk or text with a trained counsellor and their service is completely free. So if you're feeling anxious or run down, depressed, needing to talk to someone, give them a call or give them a text. 1737. The next number I want to give you is the Crisis Assessment Team, or CAT team, and their number is 0800 50 50 50. So that's assistance for people who are in crisis in the Waikato DHB region. So they're a crisis assessment team, they're part of the community mental health, so they are kind of like right up there with when things are going really, really wrong. It's very urgent care is needed around mental health. So that number again is 0800 50 50 50. The next number I want to give you is Lifeline. So Lifeline is an amazing service. It's a 24-hour telephone support service available for anyone needing emotional support. So 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now their number is 0800 543 354. And they have trained counsellors and just amazing people that you can have a talk to no matter what time of day it is. The next number I want to give you is the Depression Helpline. Now, the Depression Helpline is related to depression.org.nz. You may have seen some of their ads around, like the with John Kirwan. They have a whole lot of videos on the online service, but this is the phone line service. So Depression Helpline, 0800 111 757. Now, if you just have someone, you need someone safe to talk to, they're available from 8 a.m. in the morning to midnight. And they're a really great service, just someone calm and like gentle to talk to about whatever's going on for you. Now, the next number I've got for you is not a mental health support line. It's actually the health line. So it's health information service for all the family, and it's staffed by registered nurses who will give information and advice. I have used this line. It's for general health, medical health, physical health, and it's really amazing because sometimes when things are going wrong with your body, you don't know what's happening. You're not sure if we need to go the ambulance route or you need to go to the hospital. They're trained nurses, so they will actually ask you a bunch of questions. You can answer them, and they'll let you know what you need to do, and it's a huge relief. So the Healthline number is 0800 611 116, and that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The next number I want to give you is the Suicide Prevention Helpline. Now, this is support, information and resources to people who are at risk of suicide and or the family of family or whānau and friends supporting them. Now, it's available from midday to midnight and their number is 0508 Tautoko, which is 0508-828-865. Now, the next number I want to give you is the Shine Confidential Helpline. And the Shine Confidential Helpline specialises in domestic violence to help keep people safe from abuse. So their number is 0508 744 633. And the last number that I want to give you is I want to give you the Outline. Now this is a Gay and Lesbian Outline New Zealand. So it's support for people, gay and lesbian people who want to have someone to talk to about whatever's going on around that, because quite often we need a bit of extra support, and when you're not getting that support, that can definitely lead to mental health stuff. So this is a really great line. So the Outline, their number is 0800 688 5463. Now, don't stress if you missed any of those contact details for those support lines. Hayes and I play that at the end of every single show of Fighting Stigma. So come back next week on Free FM 89.0 on Thursday at midday. Also repeat on Friday at 5:30 a.m. or Sunday at 3:30 p.m. And we always play those shows, those support lines. So hopefully this has given you a few ideas about how to start challenging your internalised stigma. But from us all here, take care.
At Progress to Health, we provide a range of support for those who have experienced mental illness. People who have dealt with mental illness and associated disabilities are supported holistically to maximise their potential. We want to empower your journey to recovery. Check out our website, www.progresstohealth.org.nz, or call us free on 0800 77 57 57.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.